Episode 12, Be Your Own Toughest Editor. I am my own harshest critic. While I am in writing mode, I do some minor editing, usually one scene at a time, mostly double-checking spelling, continuity, character voices, and so forth. But when I change hats and begin the serious process of editing, it is literally the release of the Kraken. Editing is serious business. It is not running a spell and grammar checker. These are important tools, of course. With automatic insertion, word substitution, and now AI rearing its spastic head, all kinds of weird things can enter your writing. Sometimes you can't even make out what a sentence or word combination actually means because your software disfigures some oddly formed fragment or phrase. Word combinations can be frustrating. Things like "taught he" instead of "to the." They look the same even when read three or four times. It's easy to end up with things like "and" or "the" that blow right past your critical analysis after hours of staring at your laptop screen. I have an entire page of oddities that I carry forward from one book to another to catch common errors like this. Below are a few of my favorites, but remember, that is just the start. Literally. Overuse of the word "that." That is an understatement. We so often overuse the word that we don't even pay attention to it. There are specific purposes for that word. When the relative pronoun that, which, who, whom, or whose functions as the object of the verb in the relative clause, it can be and usually is omitted. Although its use here is not strictly wrong, deleting it from the relative clause creates a more concise sentence. Phew, that's what Webster had to say. Sounds complicated, but not really. Here are a few examples where that or who, when referring to people, can be omitted. The results that I obtained may invoke positive social change. How about, the results I obtained may invoke positive social change? Hard to tell much of a difference. The article that I requested did not arrive on time. Take out that. The article I requested did not arrive on time. Simple, clean. The participants who I interviewed met me at the local library. Let's try it this way. The participants I interviewed met me at the local library. The word "that" was not required in any of those three examples. Here's an exercise you could try. Using your word processor's find and replace function, pick about a 1,000-word piece and replace all instances of "that" with some obvious special character not used anywhere else, like the pound sign. Next, read the selection aloud. Does it sound right? Does it make sense? If so, delete the pound sign and move on to the next. If it needs "that" to make sense, use it. You might discard "that" when technically it should be used, but overusing any word makes your writing feel and sound clumsy. You will be surprised how much cleaner your narrative will be when you eliminate that overused word. Is it all right or all right? There are a lot of times when certain words stick you in the ribs. Is that really the correct word? There is a quick way to get to the crux of the matter using your browser. Take the case of all right, A-L-R-I-G-H-T, or all right, two separate words. Type all right, V-S, for versus, all right, two separate words, in your browser, just like that, and hit enter. You will return a bunch of links to various grammar sites that can explain what word combination or word choice is correct, when either is acceptable, or under what conditions, such as Harbour, spelled H-A-R-B-O-U-R, in England's English or Canadian English, versus American English's Harbour, H-A-R-B-O-R. Or, I studied maths in England, plural, short for mathematics, also plural, versus the American version, I studied math, singular, short for mathematic. Oops. No, short for mathematics. Plural. Wow, go figure. There's a million things like this. Identifying character speech. This can be tough. I write a lot of unspecified dialogue. I prefer to let the visual representation of dialogue on the page determine who is speaking. A lot of she said and he replied gums up the page in my thinking. Then I began narrating my own audio. That proved to be a problem. So I've had to rethink my dialogue before I narrate. Some grammarists suggest avoiding using anything besides he or she said, but I find that stale and boring. But look critically at your dialogue. Make notes in your draft as to who is speaking if it is not specifically called out to make certain you don't get lost, nor do your readers. If it is confusing, add identifiers. But don't abuse this. Again, think brevity, conciseness. Character voices. Perhaps one of the hardest things to overcome is writing your characters in your voice, not a unique one. And I don't mean mucking up character speak in dialect, making everyone sound like they are Irish. And no offense to the Irish, I have relatives that came all the way from County Cork years ago. Each character needs to sound unique, in subtle ways mostly. Identify dialogue, especially banter in a scene. Look for subtle ways to make the character sound unique, and keep notes about this. Try and have consistency throughout the story with their unique speaking patterns. It's something you have to work at. Read your writing aloud, and don't trust your friends. Your eyes interpret letters and words on the page. Reading those words aloud can reveal things that don't quite fit or sound right that you may have overlooked. You may get an insight that you dropped a character by mistake or do not conclude a serious point. That's a good indication you need to edit. If you really hate yourself, record it and play it back to yourself. That's an eye-opener, believe me. But pay no attention to what a friend says or family. If I ask someone to read my rough draft, I don't want to hear, "Oh, I couldn't put it down." I read once the person who invented that phrase was actually beheaded during the French Revolution. If not, they should have been. I want to hear criticism. What works? What does not? I want to hear, "What happened to character so-and-so?" Or, "The ending feels off. Too mushy." Stuff like that. Better yet, make those decisions yourself before anyone else reads it. Continuity. Continuity is always a challenge. How many times have you watched a movie where a character disappears for no reason? Or a 2020 Honda drives through in the background of a movie supposedly of the 1980s? In one of my favorite ones, in the 2005 movie The War of the Worlds, when the main characters are fleeing the city where all life has been extinguished, if you look up in the upper right corner of the screen, you will see a river cruise boat moving upstream. Pretty funny. In your writing, you have to control those kinds of mistakes. Keep a log of what are called your character arcs, the appearance and disappearance of characters. Make certain you do not lose track of anyone in this story unintentionally. Be accurate. If your character is landing by jet in Paris, make certain it is at Paris Charles de Gaulle Airport, also known as Roissy Airport, but not Paris Airport. The French can be picky like that. Keep track of your characters. I once wrote a novel where halfway through my main antagonist's name suddenly changed. A reader caught it. 2 years later. It happens. And another time, I had a company edit book number 2, Cross of Fire, of the Juno Letters series. I did not read it afterwards and authorized them to publish it. Last year, 10 years later, I reread it and discovered they changed the entire flow of the novel, and it made no sense whatsoever. And the connection between this book and book number 3, Clan of the Black Sun, disappeared completely. It lacked continuity. Luckily, I had a backup and fixed it. That was my mistake. The watchword, take responsibility for your own work. I say this all the time. Be your own best critic. Do your own due diligence. I'm not saying don't use a professional editor, but give them the opportunity to do their best work by giving them a draft you can be proud of. If you self-publish like I do, switch hats, stick your ego in your back pocket, and slay the Kraken before it slaves you. More editing and proofing tips will follow in future podcasts, but remember as you go forward, you will never produce a perfect work, so don't beat yourself up. I'm L.W. Hewitt, and I've gone off-grid.